Merry Christmas to everybody. It's good to see Ella Jenkins. Merry Christmas to Ella Jenkins and to Ella Rogers, to India, to Elder Ellis and Sister Elsie. God bless you, brother. It's good to see you. Sister Nancy, praise God for you. We're looking at Matthew today for a few minutes and a few of the scriptures as well. I want to encourage everyone, have all the scriptures that I read in the Word of God concerning Christ coming at this time, which is as I think I have a renewed revelation this year of the power and of the spirit and the spiritual aspect of just how spiritual occasion this is. And I want to look in this morning for a few minutes in Matthew, the first chapter, and about verse number 20, and there's one point in particular I want to look at. And then I want to look at Philippians 2, probably, and John, the first chapter. And I thank, and we will have done the will of God today. I thank God for the presence of Jesus Christ and for his coming. Timaeus and I always have conversations on our way home and on our way here and wherever. And this morning he asked me, he says, "Well, which do you prefer, Jesus' birth or his resurrection?" Because he's aware of both. He's very knowledgeable on both for his age. And no, I'm not trying to say to me, it's the super child or the this or that and the other. But he goes to a Christian school, so he gets a lot of the Word of God. So I'm not trying to make him be, you know, Jesus' second coming, anything. But he does know a lot of the Word of God because he goes to a Christian school. And it is a very fundamental Baptist Christian school. And one thing the Baptist people do, I have to give them credit for it because they do it. And we have to recognize the strengths of different churches in different places. Baptist people teach a lot of the Word of God.
Yes, they do.
They are not as emotional as Pentecostal people who like to dwell in emotion and who make everything be an emotion and the spirit be an emotion. They're not that. But I'll tell you what they do. They read their Bible and they do know the Word of God. They do spend time teaching the Word of God. Because I grew up in a Baptist church. We have too much of anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a whole lot about baptism and the Holy Ghost, but I know one thing. Every Sunday we had Sunday school and we sure did learn the Word of God. We sure did do that. And so I find that I have a lot of people in Pentecostal who are kind of scary because they don't know any more the Word of God than what's preached to them. And whatever the preacher says, that's how you get them to believe that Noah, it took 120 years to build an ark. They don't really find out any different. But we were talking about which would I prefer, his birth or his resurrection. And I was saying to him this morning that really, you can't separate Christ's birth and resurrection. You can't have one without the other. So you can't prefer one over the other, because right. You could say, well, it would have done no good for him to be born if he wasn't resurrected. That is true, but he could never have been resurrected if he was never born. So that's where we are. But we look at both of them as the single being of Christ and look at the importance of Christ coming. So this morning in Matthew, the first chapter, the first thing I've read, and I've enjoyed this Christmas season, and I know a lot of people haven't heard me teach Christian education on Sunday mornings or Tuesday nights. And I'm not somebody who people are overly interested in. That's fine. I really want them to be interested in Christ. But it would have been good this year because the Lord gave me a lot concerning Christmas that a lot of people needed to hear. But people would rather hear what they like to hear. So I don't knock that either. But I have really enjoyed the Holy Ghost during this Christmas season. And next Sunday, I start a new series. And next Sunday, I start with the new year. And the Lord was saying to me this morning of what the scripture will be for starting on Tuesday and going into the new year. And it'll be the scripture in Revelation: "Behold, I make all things new."
Yes.
And we're gonna look at that for the months going into it, because some of us really need some new things.
Yes.
Well, no, take that back. All of us do.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning in Matthew, the first chapter and the 20th verse, I'll just read the whole verse, but I really want to deal with the last line of it. "But while he thought on these things," talking about Joseph, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. And this is the portion we want to get. For that which is conceived of her, seed in her, is of the Holy Spirit. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And all week we've been talking about this. And the point being is if you're going to do anything for God, whatever you decide to do for God has to be conceived in you by the Spirit. If you're going to do anything for God, any situation that you're in, if you're going to respond in the way that God would have you respond, and if you're going to give a word that God would have you give, if you're going to do anything in the Spirit, then it has to be conceived, or in other words, it has to be brought about. Its origin has to come from God. If its origin doesn't come from God, then you're in the flesh. Mm-hmm. If the thoughts that I have, the revelation I have concerning the Spirit, it has to be, even when people are preaching and teaching, this is why people grab onto emotion. And I'm old enough now to have the liberty and been experienced enough that I'm not afraid to say what the Lord's given me. The reason why people grab onto emotion is because they're not used to allowing the Spirit to give them anything. Even when people are preaching, they're looking for the emotional lift. Yes. And they're looking for the entertainment value. I want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And when I listen to him, I don't enjoy it. The word is so sterile, and it's so this and that. I'm just not wowed by it. You would be wowed by it if you would allow what is of the Spirit. If you would allow the Spirit to give you the revelation of it, and you weren't just listening to just the auditory, what the ears are hearing and what the eyes are saying, you would be really caught up when you really consider. The other day, I was praying, and it just occurred to me, not for the first time, but the other day it occurred to me especially, and the Spirit said to me, he spoke to me, because I was talking about last week about, I read in many people's literature and everything, and I read in Dake or in others, and they talk about, when it talks about the Spirit dwelling in you or having Christ in you, Spirit dwelling in you, and Dake says this about, I think when he talks about Peter and about Judas, then the evil spirit into Judas, and I think that makes the assertion that when you say that the Spirit is in you, that means that you've come under the influence of it, and you are in agreement with it, and you're in alignment with it, and I agree with all that too, but I want to make one more assertion. I'm just not in alignment and agreement with the Holy Ghost. He dwells in me. Now I'm going to say something to you that you haven't thought about, and this is when I started, just went into tongues, and it seemed like I just was enjoying the flow. You sit up and you believe wholeheartedly because you see it in the Word of God. How evil spirits are in the man in the tomb, and how evil spirits are in different people in Jesus' time. Why would you say, if an evil spirit is in the man in the tombs, and you see how in the Bible it says that, and then the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit left Saul, and an evil spirit came into Saul, that's the Word of God. And somehow you not realize, if I say this, when I say this to you, and you're going to say, well, he's off, that you are in a way, we talk about spirit possession. You need to know that the Holy Ghost needs to, you know, the Holy Ghost possesses me. He
yes.
dwells in me. I don't know of a better word of saying it. It's not just someone I go along with or someone I read about. He dwells in me. Yeah. And if you feel like that, you know, when you have the Holy Spirit, that he's just, you're just in line with him and you're unified with him in that way and everything else. No, that's not the way it is. He dwells in me. If I can get a demon, why can't I get the Holy Ghost?
All right. There you go.
If I can have a demon dwelling in me, why can't I have the Holy Ghost dwelling in me? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not just a going along with or being in accord with, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And many of us, when that's the reason why a lot of people like to say, it's in my hands, it's in my feet. You're trying to build something. You're trying to do all this. I get your point. I don't knock that either, any way you can get it. But we have to really realize He dwells in us. He is in us, not just metaphorically or not just a figure of speech. The Holy Ghost dwells in my spirit. He's in there. He lives, He abides in there. I have the Holy Ghost dwelling in me, and not just in the sense of my mind or this or that or the other. He dwells in me. And so when the angel says to Joseph, that's in Mary, because everything that Christ does, physically and otherwise, for us is spiritual. And when he says that is conceived of her, what started in her, what she has going on, is of the Holy Spirit. And we need to come to a point where what's conceived in us, our notions and our emotions and everything, we want to get to a point when you need to think it through. And you need to ask yourself, when you have certain thoughts and things, where did that come from? You know, how did I get that? Where am I? And then seek after the Holy Spirit and desire of Him. The second part is in Philippians, the second chapter. And I'm almost done. Philippians chapter 2, and you know the scripture, Philippians 2 and 5, and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I want the second part. Who being formed in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then it goes on to say, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But I like verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took on the humble position of a slave, he says in the New Living Translation. But I like it better when it just, I like it like this. And this is something that sticks with me a whole lot because it all comes together. You see, sacrifice, when we talk about Christ being a sacrifice, we are always talking about, we save that sermon for Easter. Mm-hmm. He is our sacrifice. He is a propitiation for our sin. He's our atonement. Christ didn't start sacrificing on the cross. He sacrificed when he left heaven.
Yes.
That's a sacrifice of sacrifices. You understand? Not just when he's on the cross. He starts sacrificing when he leaves heaven. When it says that he really didn't have a problem with allowing his divinity to be set aside and being removed from that. And I look at us, because here's the practicality of it. So, Bishop Smith, you're on the word, but you don't give us the practicality of it. We need to learn to sacrifice. We need to learn to sacrifice. And it's not just giving up your tithes and your money, because anything you're comfortable with and it doesn't take you out of stride, it stops being a sacrifice. It's the difference between the people in the Bible who were giving so much money in the temple and the widow who gave 2 cents, but she gave all that she had. She sacrificed. It's the woman. It's the widow of Zarephath. You know what Elijah asked her to do when he said, she says, "Well, I'm gonna bake this cake and me and my son go eat it and die." He said, "Well, fix me some first." She has to sacrifice in order, because she has a plan, and she doesn't say to him, "No. I'll fix you some if there's any left over. If there's any left over, I'll feed you. But I need to feed me and my son first." No, it's the will of God. It's the plan of God. And say, well, how? And say, well, that don't sound right to me. Normally it wouldn't sound right, except for when you read it and you read the scripture, you find out that God has already told her that when his servant comes, she's supposed to help him out.
Oh, yes.
And so she's looking for God's servant. In other words, she's trying to fit into the will of God, into the plan of God. And when he shows up, it isn't like he comes in and she doesn't expect someone to come. And she's just so holy. She said, "Okay, I'll give you all the food. Me and my son will starve, and I'll trust God." She is trusting God, but she's trusting God because God is speaking to her. The notion that someone would come that she's supposed to help, that's conceived of by the Spirit.
Right, yes.
She gets that idea. She's looking for something from God in order to help. And when there's something from God comes, she's willing to make the sacrifice, because when God gives you something, if you're not willing to make the sacrifice, you won't get it. If Jesus is not willing to make the sacrifice, his birth counts for nothing. If you're not willing to make the sacrifice when the time comes, and God is looking for people who will not, some people when they are the devil will take advantage of some people, and this is why it's so important that you learn to follow the Spirit. If you don't learn to follow the Spirit, even in your greatest zeal, the devil will take advantage of you and make a fool out of you. But at the same time I say that, and I say that for a reason, at the same time I say that, God expects you to make a sacrifice. You must pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. He's looking to see if you will sacrifice yourself for his name, for himself. Make yourself a living sacrifice. And say, well, how do we do that? I come to church, I lay my all on the altar. It is the willingness of us to do what God gives us to do to cause God's plan to work. It is the willingness of us to be led by the Spirit to do what the Lord would have us do to cause his plan to work. It's not the big things, it's the little things. I have learned far too late in life, I wasted a ministry. Wasted a ministry. Wasted a great anointing from God. I'll be 72 in February. I have wasted my 50s and 60s to some great degree, because I've been taken advantage of, trying to do the will of God and just trying to follow God, and blindly not allowing the Spirit to speak to me myself. I trusted that everything that someone else said to me was the Spirit. I should have done like John said and try every spirit.
Yes.
Not that they're evil, and I'm not going there. I'm just saying there was something that the Lord wanted me to do. I should have obeyed God. And I look at my peers who have obeyed God, and I look at their success, and then I look at myself who has not obeyed God. And not lacking in zeal. Matter of fact, I have as much zeal or more zeal than some of them. And not lacking in intelligence, or not lacking in the Holy Ghost. I'm just as saved as they are. It's just that I allow something to send me off on an alternate route somewhere that close to God, but not always in God. It is important that I say this, because you must not let your zeal be misused. You mustn't allow anybody to do that. That's why you got to keep checking in with the Holy Ghost. That's why you got to learn to hear the Spirit for yourself. Even you need to be able to hear the Spirit even when you're listening to other people preach, so that you can judge their prophecy and know what is of God and what is not. When people are preaching to you, you need to be able to hear the Spirit and the Word, and not just hear the Spirit with your words. You need to hear the Spirit with the Word of God, which means you also need to read your Bible so you can know what is of God and what is not. That being said, we need to do what God would have us do for God's plan to work, our portion in his plan. And don't worry, you won't look silly because God would not, you won't do anything, as Paul says, I'm not going to be ashamed of what I'm doing in God, because God doesn't stick me out there to be ashamed. And we need to trust God. So in my years, of all these years, don't you see right now, I come in here and I come in here. Let me be an example of something to someone. I do whatever I can do to help God's program go over. I don't like playing drums. I'm not a good drummer. I'm not a drummer at all. But it's needed. I'm not a great singer. I'm not a lead singer. I'm nobody's lead singer. I'm none of that. But I sing because that's what I have to do. All the things that I do, I do. I'm not this or that or the other. But I do them to the best of my ability, because that's what it needs to make God's program go over. I come in here in the mornings early because I have to set the church up. I don't have deacons and people who come in. I can walk in, 15 minutes late and everything's ready and the organ's humming and this and that and the other. And besides all that, when we had a lot of people, I was always the first one here still.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of people who did all that, because it is important to me that we do the will of God. That's always been important. And even in my allowing myself to be drawn into places and things that I probably should have never been in, and following when I probably should have said, no, wait a minute now, and challenge some things. It was, I was still having the willingness to, you know, I know what it means when it says present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And it's just not staying away from fornication.
Yes.
There's so much more to being a sacrifice than just not going to the bar. You don't make yourself a sacrifice simply because you don't go to a bar and because you're not laying up, sleeping around with people, and because you're not stealing. You become a sacrifice when you put the plans of God before yours. Yeah. And not only do you do it, but you learn to agree with it and love it and you're pleased with it. In other words, you delight yourself in Him. So here's the word. Who's in heaven from eternity past and from eternity past. And when they and when the agreement between the Word, the Spirit, and God, who we know as the Father, comes together, and they decide on the plan to have this person, have these beings that Bishop Bruno teaches about in his book and everything, these beings that will serve Him of their own free will, that He can carry out the plans of the universe that are so far reaching above anything we're able to even conceive. We don't even know. We lack the capability to really be used by God in His plans of carrying out the universe, because when it comes down to it, it's like taking a first grader who is not a savant and not a genius and trying to teach them quantum physics.
Yes, no.
Does everybody understand? Am I making any sense?
Yes.
When it comes to God, we think we already know, even just His telling us about His plan. We seem to have some knowledge that we're able to help Him carry out His plan. And He's just giving us first graders just enough to get us to the point where He can get us into the second grade and get us into high school and get us into college and get us into further study, because we're incapable of having any idea of really what He wants us to do in Him. Oh, we're just going to rule with God in the universe. We are.
Yeah.
But what does that governance entail?
Yes.
We have neither the ability nor the knowledge in these human bodies. But God is working with us to get us here. And here is Jesus, who has all this to start with, and He says, I will give this up and go down here and suffer with these people for 33 years and put up with the most horrendous death.
Yes.
And I'll even sacrifice to the point of giving up knowing even who I am. I'll take the risk that when I hear the word of God, does everybody still understand me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to even give up knowing who I am. We don't like to give up knowing who we are. I am. I'm so and so.
Yes.
We introduce, I'm so and so. You can't tell me what I am, who I am now. Yeah. Stay with that. Here's Jesus, who says, you know, I'll even give up, I'll forsake so completely who I am, I won't remember who I am myself.
Yes.
And I will trust the Holy Spirit, who we're asking you to trust, to give me what I need by the revelation when Mary and Joseph start teaching me the word of God, the rabbi teaches me the word of God. I'm going to trust that the Holy Ghost is going to give it to me, and it's going to be formed in me, and I'm going to grow spiritually. Do you know what it means to grow spiritually? It says He grew spiritually and with God and men. To grow spiritually means you allow the Spirit to give you more and more and more, not hearing more and more. A lot of us don't even like to hear more. We want to stay with the same sermon, same person preaching the same thing over and over again. We want to stay with, you know, and if it was always the Holy Ghost and being saved, I could go with that. But He says, I need to grow. Next point. Why? As well, Jesus, in a word, one of us have to go down in order for man to be saved. The only way we can do it really is, since man fell, man's going to have to be redeemed. And since man was disobedient, I can't really charge man for being disobedient unless there is a man who can show man that it is possible to obey. I can't really fault man for being disobedient and clarify him and clear him unless someone will go down and show that it is possible for man to obey. And that person has to suffer. And when that person suffers, it will be wrong because that person has obeyed. And when that person dies, it will be wrong because he has obeyed. And when the wrong is done him, I will greatly reward him because I'll change him from mortal to immortal and I'll give him a name that is above every name. But I need you to go and obey. And every one of us would say, okay, I'll go and obey. But can I start off at 30? Do I really have to go through starting off as a baby? Is that necessary? Do I have to really start at the beginning? Who understands what I'm saying?
Yes.
Who can see themselves in this?
Yes, yes.
Lord, do I really have to start off as a baby? That's the problem with a lot of us.
Yes.
A lot of people don't have the anointing you should have, and you're not where you should be in God because someone let you start off without being a baby. They let you start off being 10 or 15 and told you you were already ready to be this, told you you were already ready to be that, told you you were already ready to be all these things. And the truth of it is you should have started off being a baby.
Yes.
If Jesus had to start off being a baby, why didn't you? Why didn't I?
That's Revelation.
And he had to grow up all those years and get the experience of a person on earth who starts out being a baby. Well, God couldn't have put a grown man in Mary. You sound like Nicodemus. God can do whatever he wants. He didn't need to put Jesus in Mary in order for Jesus to be human. God could have just made him one. Didn't he make Adam one?
Yes.
Why not just bring Jesus up and make him of the clay?
That's right.
Breathe into him. He had no sin. Why not just start him there? Say, well, no, then he wouldn't have followed Scripture. Who do you think wrote Scripture and gave Scripture? God is giving you the narrative before he does it, but it is a narrative that, here we go again, is conceived by the Holy Ghost. And God is telling you how he's going to bring Jesus into existence and how the plan is going to work, because it has to be relative to us. And it has to be one born of woman, because if he built him of the clay again, then we would say, well, here again, he's not one of our brethren. He didn't grow up like us. But by the same token, he's still God's son, and he's not born in sin.
Yes.
He's born in sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness of sin, and for sin, and condemned sin in the flesh, but Jesus himself, who knew no sin.
Yes.
See, this is where you have to really get into the Word of God. He knew no sin. He that knew no sin became sin for us. Yes. All this works out. Isn't this a plan? Aren't you glad you thought of it? Aren't you glad you thought of it? Oh, you didn't think of it. Wow. Neither did none of us. We never would have. You know why? Because we would have never made that sacrifice. We don't make a little sacrifice. I asked the elders when I was in jurisdictional meeting. I said, why don't you, I asked the people, I said, help your pastor out. Show up 15 minutes early. I must have been talking to these chandeliers. You know why you don't? You don't see the need. You know why we don't do things in God anymore? We don't see the need. Yet, we say that the Holy Spirit is able to speak to us and lead us and guide us. You know, there's so much that we enjoy because God gives us joy in the Word and joy in the way and joy in service and joy in doing this. And joy. We get to be joy. We thrive on the joy. If it gives us joy, it must be the Holy Ghost. Sore trials, Holy Ghost. Sore sacrifices, Holy Ghost. But my last scripture today, it's in Hebrews 12th chapter. And we're going home. Hebrews chapter 12. You miss. You miss the greatest joy that there is. God never asked for a sacrifice without giving you greater greater, everybody say greater again.
Greater.
Greater joy.
Greater joy.
Joy unspeakable, it says in one place. Unspeakable joy. Douglas Miller song, got out of the Bible. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Mm-hmm. Joy unspeakable. For unto you this day is born a Savior. You know, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm. That's what it says.
Yes. A great joy. You're going to enjoy this. Don't you know that God knows? How is Jesus being born great joy when 2 years later every male child in Israel is going to be killed? And someone would say, you said that this was supposed to give us joy. And, you know, especially if it's your child, and every one of us can understand it. Because that's how we work. This is, how is this bringing me joy? What did they say to Moses when he killed the Egyptian? You gonna kill us now?
Yeah.
What did they say to Moses when Pharaoh told them to make bricks? Here's another thing too. Let me put the information. Y'all know I can't let you pass over. Stop saying Moses made them, that Pharaoh made them make bricks without straw. That is not true, and that is not the Bible. They never had to make bricks without straw. The difference was, before Moses came, Pharaoh's servants provided the straw. And then after Moses came, Pharaoh said, if you have time to go into the wilderness and sacrifice, you have time to gather your own straw.
Yeah.
You can't make bricks without straw. So stop saying that. They were never made to make bricks without straw. They were made to gather their own straw. Everybody got that?
Yes.
See, that's another one of those things that makes so much difference in the Bible. But even still, when Moses came and he said, I came to deliver you, first they start suffering. Mm. Suffering comes
yes.
before deliverance.
Yes.
Suffering. Trials come before deliverance. Understand that. Suffering. But if you're not suffering and allowing the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you, then your suffering is in vain.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're not going to allow the Holy Ghost to guide you, your trials are in vain. You go through a difficult time, but if you won't find the way of the Lord and what God is trying to work in you and get going in you, you're going through a trial in vain. Everything seems to be falling apart. Nothing's working out. It's because God is trying to, for lack of a better term, get your attention and turn you to a point where you will allow what comes in you that's going to be of God. It must be conceived or created in you by the Holy Spirit. The way must be of God. I'm not suggesting that you don't read and do things, because we need to read more. When you're reading and you're hearing the Word of God, it's supposed to increase your faith and your knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And if you're not letting it do that, you're just doing everything for entertainment's sake. But and you have to allow the Spirit say, now, Lord, I heard that. Now, what am I supposed to do? Lord, I got that. Now, what am I supposed to do? How is this supposed to work? Which way am I supposed to go? Okay, Lord, I'm suffering, Lord. I'm really going through. God's going to let you dwindle down to the point where you have no place else to go. And He's not letting you. You say, well, I'm already praying. I'm crying out to God. I'm fasting. I'm doing all. You're doing everything except saying, Lord, I surrender.
Yes.
Lord, I have been wrong in what I've been doing. I'm not going the right way. Something's not right. You got to come down to it sooner or later where you find out God is perfect. He's always right. He's never wrong. And if things aren't working out right, if things aren't working out, it's not somebody over there. It's not somebody over there. It's not them. It's not those. It's not that or whatever.
Yes.
If things aren't working right, you have to come to it after a while and say, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
It's me. That's just an answer. If things don't work out right, you have to come down to it at some point in time of saying, you know what? The problems that I'm having, it's because God is trying to work something in me. It's not Bishop so-and-so. It's not Elder so-and-so. It's not them. It's not that. It's not anybody. Every one of us, sooner or later, if you're going to grow in God, you have to come around to saying, yes, these people might be contributing to my problem. Yes, that probably is contributing to my problem. Yes, my problem is because of this, whatever, all things. But the reason why I'm not being delivered is me.
Yes. Yes.
It's me. I know what I know. I know where I am. God. That's the problem. No one's trying to say you're not saved.
Yes.
No one's trying to say you don't have the Holy Ghost. What we are saying is you don't listen to Him.
Yes.
You're unaware of Him. When it comes to you,
yes,
you can see that everybody else needs the Holy Ghost and there's something wrong with them, but you cannot see that there's a problem with you.
Yes.
And Jesus, when Jesus comes, He exemplifies the utter... Well, when Jesus came, He was born. There exists no greater helpless being in the universe than a newborn baby.
That's right, right, that's right.
Totally incapable of maintaining themselves.
Right.
Totally dependent on somebody else. Totally dependent on, there is nothing in the universe, there is no living being in the universe, animal, in the animal kingdom, that is more helpless than a newborn human baby.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, in the wild, they are running and walking an hour after they're born and
yes,
and doing, you might say, well, kangaroos have a hard time. Okay, whatever. But you get my point.
Yes.
This is the sacrifice Jesus makes. Why not let me, God, we're running out of time. Because you know how you explain to God how He needs to do something differently from what He wants? Why not let me just come to earth and I'll just come in out of the wilderness and be a man?
Yes.
And, it's necessary for the people to know of Christ's birth. It's necessary for you to know of your new birth in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary for them to see you in the growing, see Christ in the growing process so they have no doubt that He's human. It's necessary for Christ Himself to be in a growing process so He can be tried by God. So He can show to God and Himself it is possible to be tried by God and come out on the other side victorious. And we would not have a witness of being a victory if we did not see Christ's victory. Don't you know all of our victories are based on Christ's victory?
Yes, sir.
Haven't you noticed? You can talk about Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah and all of them. I talk about them a lot. I love it. You can talk about David all you want to, but every victory we have in the world is based on Christ's victory on the cross of Calvary. Without that victory, there is no other victory that God will have. And He has to show during 30 years. He has to endure it not for a year. That's the other thing we want to do. We want to grow up overnight. And many of us, the reason why we're old now and we haven't gotten where we're supposed to be is because we let someone convict us. It's like sometimes now in the world, let me give you an illustration you might understand. It's more women than it is men, and it's not being sexist, but it is true. It's all of us hold in derision, or we really talk about or talk down, the mother who takes her 12-year-old child and dresses her like she's 20. We all, most good mothers, there's a way that your daughter should look as she's growing up. They don't have that much of a problem with boys because boys don't have that much of a... They don't worry about the lipstick and the makeup. They don't go through all that. But we all know what it's like when we see a young girl who's too young wearing heels that are too high, so we say. Or this and that and the other. Put them in the position. Let them make it spiritual for you. It's that way when someone takes you because you're in church and you're a good saint and you're working out and they come in your church and all of a sudden they start praying. You know you're a preacher. You know you're a preacher. You know you're going to be a, you're a pastor, don't you? They're trying to get you to be older than you are. And many of us, unfortunately, have fallen victim to that. And when you say to me that you try to make me be older than what I am, somewhere along the line, something's going to bring me in line with my real age.
Yes.
And then God, when someone comes in and tells you you're deeper than what you think you are, and that God has this for you that you haven't realized yet, and you're supposed to be here, and don't you know this? And then your inclination is just like children. If someone comes in and tells your child that they're more mature than their parents think they are, guess who they follow? They follow the person that exalts them and causes them to be more than what they are. They fall in line with that person, and that's who they love. Yeah. And the parents have a hard time reeling them in and says, but you're only 12. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you treat me like I'm a baby, but I ain't no baby. Because so-and-so, you know, listen, when you see Jesus, there's a reason why he's born a baby. And you need to be born one too.
Yes.
New birth is new birth. And we're all born babies.
All right.
Yes.
Every one of us are born babies. Now, some people grow faster than others. You have some exceptional, you know, you have some spiritual geniuses like Paul. People who are spiritual savants, as we would call them, and all of a sudden they just take off. And it's because he's been in it all. He's been in the Word of God all his life, and the only thing he needs to do is somebody to give him the Holy Ghost, and the light comes on bright.
Yes, yeah.
But that's not most of us.
Mm-hmm.
Say, so, well, how you know I'm not like that? Because I don't see your miracles.
Yeah.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. It's not hard. We can make that up. But for most of us, hey, we were born in God. We were born, you know, when we come to the Lord, we have to see ourselves. And see, the sacrifice that Christ really made is not just, it's horrendous, the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. But the man sacrificed from the day he decided to come here.
Yes.
And he keeps moving among these, really, among this human infestation that doesn't obey anybody, because we love to disobey. We're like water. We follow the path of least resistance, and the person that we can get to be on our side the easiest, that's who we love. Never mind that they don't live in the house with you and have to correct you and have to get you to be on the straight and narrow. You don't want to hear that. You want them to keep telling you you're somebody big. So then the devil really comes in. And he really sets you up for a fall. You know how he does that? Gives you a position.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not ready.
Right. Yeah.
Kept trying to get Jesus to come down to Jerusalem. He said, it's not time yet.
Yeah.
Even at the marriage of Cana in Galilee, you know, Mary's saying, do a miracle, do a miracle, do a miracle. Jesus says, hey, you know what? We need to slow down. I got a long way to go. And I can't just be, you know, I have to do the will of God, because God has already told me. They're still trying to kill me. Have you forgotten that?
Yeah.
And I still need to do, and his other concern, he says, I have so many people, although a lot of people didn't believe him, he says, I have to convince so many people of who I am before I go, because the ministry has to go on.
Yeah.
I've got things to do. It would be nice, well, be famous now. No, I have to sacrifice. I can't do that yet. That's not what I'm supposed to do. Is that a sacrifice? It is.
Yes.
You want your name out there.
Oh, yeah.
You want to sit in the... You love sitting up on that in that pulpit there. Love sitting back there. Just love it. I'm somebody. Jesus shows us in his verse, and I'm ready now, in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, everyone there?
Amen.
And verse 2. Well, I'll start in 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. I was sitting in a Bible class one time, and the person was teaching this, and he was supposed to be giving people doctorates and things, and he was a Bible school. Someone just invited me to sit in for a visit to them, one of his classes, and he read this. Wherefore, saying we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, now who are the witnesses? And everybody sit there waiting for him to tell them something. I said, everybody in chapter 11. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, that's right. It is the people in chapter 11. But also it's whatever. No, Paul is specifically talking about the people he mentioned in chapter 11. That's his point.
Yes.
Since I've given you all these examples, oh, then you can talk about me else. But anyway, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily beset before us. In other words, this is a sacrifice. This is something, isn't it? Seeing that we have all these witnesses that made all these sacrifices and for the glory of God and obeyed God, starting off with, and did all the things they need to do to make sure the plan of God worked, make sure the plan of God worked, their portion in making sure the plan of God worked, their place, their purpose as the man writes in A Purpose Driven Life. They're, you know, how I fit in, what God needs me to do, what is my portion in helping the plan of God working. What do I do? What does God want me to do? It all covered under the heading of Abraham. When God called Abraham, one word, he obeyed. Well, you can't obey the Spirit if you're not willing to sacrifice yourself, because you are not always in line with the Spirit.
Right. Yes.
And if you're not willing to allow the Spirit to have preeminence, not going to work.
Right.
Before Jesus goes to the cross, Peter tries to get Jesus to say, why don't you just wait a little bit, Jesus, until things calm down? That ain't God.
No.
Jesus says, I can't entertain that, not in the least. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knows why he's there. It isn't Jesus' unwillingness to go to the cross, because if he was unwilling to go to the cross, we would be lost. It is all the demons and all the things that are coming against him, trying to convince him not to go. Not to make the, what's the word?
Sacrifice.
Giving him all the reasons why he didn't need to make the
sacrifice.
Just stay down here and keep using your power and doing miracles. Mm. Just keep doing miracles. People love the miracles. They'll follow you because of the miracles. You don't have to make a sacrifice. Just keep doing miracles.
Yeah.
You know? Just, you know, you don't have to preach and tell people they need to be saved anymore. Just start having miracle services. Just let everybody keep seeing miracles. Don't call people down to the altar to be saved. Call them down because their hip hurts. Call them down because they have stomach issues. Call them down for anything in the world. Just do miracles. Just do miracles.
Yes.
When the greatest miracle is salvation.
Yes.
But don't have an altar call. Is anybody here who needs to be saved? Don't even mention. Is anybody here who needs to be saved? Is anybody here tonight who needs to be saved? Anybody here, you know, you're separated from God. You feel the need to reconnect with God. Come on down. Let the Spirit be formed in you again. Anybody here need that? No. You don't have that service. We don't need that. So as it says, Peter said to Jesus, hey, look, you don't need to, you know, you don't have to go to the cross and suffer and die. We love you. Let's just go where people love us.
Yes.
We don't have to go where, we don't have to even go near Jerusalem. Let's just go where people love us.
Yes.
And we'll just keep preaching and casting out devils, and it's just so marvelous. People just appreciate us so much. We just don't, you know, don't make any sacrifices. That's the way we are. Holy Ghost says do this, and we say, hey, you know, what? And we say to the Holy Ghost, why should I? Why should I? So what would it be like when Gabriel came to Mary and says, you know, you've been chosen, and Mary never says one time, why me? She does ask, how is it going to happen? But hasn't it ever occurred to you that she should probably ask, why have you chosen me?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't say one time, why me? You know what we say to the Lord all the time? Why? Why should I do that? You know how many people I have to explain to something, then they say, oh, okay, that makes sense. But why did I even, you know, why did you need an explanation for that?
Amen.
There are some things that need explanations. Some things come with just growth. And he says, let us say it's in. We have this great cloud of witnesses, people who can do this, people who've done this, people we see with this, people who made these sacrifices. Because when you read the 11th chapter, you know, all the way down to Moses choosing to dwell in the tents of with the people of God than to serve in the
Pharaoh's house.
Yeah, you know, forsaking all that. He says, let us also, in other words, you know, let us lay aside everything. Let us do the same thing. Lay aside the weight, the thing, and us. You can't lay aside what's not you. If he's talking about laying away the weights in the sense which does so easily beset us, stop being in those things. Change our mind about that. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, not be in such a hurry. I got all these. We have a lot of people right now who are on a track. They are not waiting for the Lord to decide that, you know, you would be a bishop or you would be an elder or you would be this. They've already made the mind. I'm going to be that.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? I would remind you what Jesus told the two disciples, one to sit on his left side, his right side. And he said to them, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking for. Right. Two, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's given a name above every name. Why make the sacrifice? For the joy.
Yeah.
Why sacrifice if God's not going to give you joy? Now, make up your mind. Whose joy do you want? Whose joy is greater? Where is the greater joy? What you have or what God has? Where, when you, next time, it's a matter of making a sacrifice of yourself. Now, I'm not asking anybody to. Now, stay away from people who take advantage of you, because, you know, Paul said in one place, they're feasting with you in your feast of charity, and you know, they've crept in. Watch out. That's why you need so much Holy Ghost. When you plan to obey God, you really need to learn to hear the Holy Spirit. That means the only way you know the difference between the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and what's not, is by the Word of God. If you are planning to really obey God, get yourself in your Bible. Buy, you know, get your commentary, get your parallel, get your, you know, look at the commentary books. What are commentary books? Books like Watchman Nee, they're commentaries. Watchman Nee explains the Word of God and much of it very good. Purpose Driven Life, a commentary. They're explaining the Word of God. There are so many others. Bishop Bruner's book. Commentary. Explains the Word of God. Bishop White's book, The Anointing Flows as Honey. Commentary. Explains the Word of God. You must be exposed to the Word of God, because only through the Word of God do you know what is of God and what is not.
Yes.
What spirit? When the Word of God says try every spirit, you can't try the Spirit if you don't know what the Spirit seems like, is like, looks like, sounds like, comes like. That's why they spend so much time trying to explain to you the Spirit. James even says, you will know wisdom that comes from God, because, and I love it. When I read that scripture, that's such an eye-opener. You will know when wisdom comes from God because it's, first of all, pure. In other words, it doesn't have any additional motives other than doing the work of God. And it's kind and gentle. How hard is it to see when you hear the Word of God, whether it is kind and gentle or not? And the other part that he says, and it brings peace. It settles you and you feel restored and reconciled. When you walk out from a service because someone has preached and your mind is in an uproar and you're disappointed and you're unself, never mind about all the other people around who just love it because they feel like they're talking to you and not them, that you have not heard the Word of God. Even in God's rebuke, there is peace and there's joy and righteousness. Even when God rebukes, there is peace and joy and righteousness, because God always restores. When you rebuke me, rebuke somebody else, and they walk out crippled, broken, and hurt, somewhere along the line, you miss the Spirit.
Right, yeah.
I tear them down to build them up. No, you do a lot of tearing down, but you do very little, if any, building up. And for everybody who goes along with that, I'm going to tell you this. It might take a year. It might take 5 years. It might take 20 years, but somewhere along the line, you're going to find out who's really in the Spirit and who's not. If you stay in God, and you're going to find out, not that the people aren't saved, but you're going to find out whether or not they really obey God or not. Mm-hmm. Yes, you will. Because God will bring it to you. It will come sooner or later. But I want to encourage everybody today, Jesus, when we see Jesus and his birth, and I really am finished now, it is the sacrifice that Christ makes.
Yes.
It's not just the sacrifice on the cross. It's the sacrifice to come here at all. And I want to encourage everybody here, like Jesus told them in Matthew and Luke, you too have to take up your cross. You too have to follow him. You too have to deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself is, you call it code if you want to, but it's the same thing. Deny yourself means sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yes.
And what are you sacrificing? Not your money, because God doesn't need your money. It's not even your body and your life, because God has your life in his hands already. It's your time. It's your mind. It's your desires. Yes, yes. It's your will. Yes. Whose will? Not my will, but
God's will. Yes.
Everybody standing. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we call upon you in the name of our precious Son, Jesus Christ. We call upon a God, Lord, that is able to do all things. And there's nothing too hard for God. Lord, he shows this. Lord, in the virgin birth of his Son, Lord, when he sends Jesus and everything that is involved in sending Jesus, every word that he gave to every prophet, every person who spoke by miracles, signs, and wonders, and all the way down to the angel appears to Mary and to Joseph, and Lord, in all of his doings and his wonders in the 33 years on earth and the resurrection from the dead, Lord, all those things show us, if we will watch, Lord, that there is nothing too hard for God. Lord, we ask you today, Lord, to speak to our spirit by your spirit who dwells in us. Remind us, O God, that he's there. Lord, we ask you today, Lord, to stretch forth thy hand, Lord, by your spirit. And Lord, heal those who need healing today. Lord, raise them up miraculously. Lord, let their healing, Lord, come forth, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit today, Lord, because of the miracle, wonderful works of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, O God. Lord, move today in the Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, because of all that has been wrought by Jesus Christ, because of the power and authority that is given in Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, in that great name and through faith in that great name, Lord, I pray, Lord, you move in us, O Lord. And Lord, today, Lord, we seek to have not only that our faith in God, but the faith of God.
Yes.
Lord, that miracles and signs and wonders would be done. And Lord, break every yoke today. Lord, in this season, Lord, when Jesus comes, Lord, he's the yoke breaker and the deliverer. Lord, his birth changes time. Yes. Sets us on course, Lord, for all that was predicted, oh God. Lord, his birth sets us on a course, Lord, a sure course of a sure foundation, Lord, of an absolute, you know, salvation, oh God. Lord, his birth sets us on track, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, put us back on track today, oh God. Start us up anew, oh Lord, and refresh us. Renew our zeal and our design and our trust in you and our faith in the Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord, renew, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, move and heal, Lord, where there was no healing, and deliver those who have not been delivered, and set free, Lord, all those that are bound, and Lord, drive the devil far from us in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
Lord, break Satan's power in the name of Jesus over our minds, and over our will, and over our emotions, and over our desires. Satan, the Lord rebuke
you.
Leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, today, Lord, in this season, Lord, give us the mind that all things are possible in Christ. And Lord, as you show us that all things are possible, there's nothing too hard for God. Lord, as we ask God to move in our special way, Lord, in our miracle working, with his miracle working power, Lord, which he wrought in his Son, Jesus Christ, both in his birth and in his resurrection. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we're doing this, Lord, we'll be open and available for the Spirit to say to us, this is what's stopping us. That's what's hindering us. That's what's holding us back. And Lord, give us a mind to be as Jesus said and to deny ourselves, make the sacrifice.
Yes.
Lord, of our desires and our way. Lord, I pray this for everyone. I pray it for myself. Lord, help us to make the sacrifice that we need to make. Lord, that God's word and God's power and God's desire would have preeminence in us, would be first above all things. That we would say as Peter, Lord, we have really forsaken all, meaning ourselves.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, I pray that you bless everybody this spirit today. Bless Elder Els and Sister Elsie, oh God. Give them a great blessing. Lord, bless Elder Tiangela Rogers and her family, her mother, and all those, Lord, who with whom she has to do, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless India, Lord, who is so faithful, oh God, and diligent, oh Lord, and give her the desires of her heart.
Yes.
Lord, for her and all the young women, Lord, who desire to have families, desire to have husbands and all the things they desire, if they do desire, whatever they do desire, Lord, I pray, Lord, give them the desires of their heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless Ella Tiangela Ross, Angela Jenkinson. Lord, I pray, Lord, fix things in Panama City and Emmanuel, oh God. Lord, work a work, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, work your work in that, oh Lord, and bring it to an expected end. Lord, what is it supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? Lord, we look for a word from you, oh God. And when we hear, we will obey. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless Sister Nancy, oh God, and fix things in her life. Lord, she needs miracles and miracles and miracles. Lord, within and without. Lord, I pray for you that you would move in her behalf and fix things. Lord, today, Lord, I pray that you bless all of Promise Church and add to our number. Lord, my one desire in Christ today, Lord, you know the desires of my heart is that men and women would be saved. Lord, save the people in the woods. Save the people in the city and across the street and around the back. Lord, move through your miracle working power. And Lord, call the light of the glorious gospel in this church at 716 Edge Street. Lord, in this building that you gave to Promise Church, Lord, among Promise Church, the members, Lord, let your light shine with a brilliance above the noonday sun so that people cannot miss it, Lord. And when people come through those doors, Lord, move by your spirit. Touch their spirit by your Holy Spirit. Lord, let the Holy Spirit ride out on the words. And Lord, flood and fill our souls, Lord, that out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. Lord, that's my desire, Lord, in this Christmas season, oh God. Lord, that's what I want. Lord, I want what you want. And that is that men and women would be saved. Lord, I pray that you move among every one of us. Bless us, heal all those, Lord, whose names I did not call. That's Elder Smith, Minister Smith, Elder Reed, Lord, Deacon Duggan, Lord, and all of us in Promise Church, oh God, the Gamble family, all of us who make a Promise Church, oh Lord, multiply us. Yes. And move by the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would not only serve you now, but Lord, we would love you more and more and serve you more and more. Not so much without, but within. And we'll give your name all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God say that.
Amen.
Praise God to everybody for tolerating me.